Lord, we thank you that you are about new things in each one of our lives today. You're always on the move, Lord. You're always doing new things, things that we can't even imagine sometimes happening. But Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts now to receive whatever it is that you want to plant within us today. That would bring your transformation into our lives. That would cause your glory to be seen in us and through us. We thank you for this, Lord. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I love that song. I loved all the songs, Dan. But there's one that was catching my attention this morning, that there's joy in the house of the Lord. And why is there joy? Because we were beggars, and now we're what?
Royalty.
We were prisoners, now we're running
free.
We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. I'm often amazed that sometimes I sing things and the words and I proclaim them, but I don't always totally believe them. That's the start today. I'll tell you a story now, and then we'll get into the Word. I've found in my own life, there are times that I've believed things, but there needed to be something more that would happen that I could really, really believe and receive what was happening. A short example, remember in college and the 4 years of college and studying and taking tests and exams. And after I had completed everything my senior year, I felt like I had graduated, but there was something more that had to happen, and that was commencement. And I remember that day in 1975, and hearing my name called by the president of Ashland University, and walking up with my cap and gown, and his shaking my hand as he looked me in the eye and gave me my diploma. And there was something that sealed the deal on that day. The night before, I knew I was going to be a graduate, but there was something about the ceremony that really sealed the deal. When I was 13 years old, I was cutting the grass in my front yard where I lived, and the Lord spoke to me. And I didn't know him, but he spoke to me. And the Lord said he was calling me to ordain ministry. And I remember going into the house and sharing that with my mom, and my mom just started teared up, and she said, you know, I really believe that too. And out of that came terrible years of high school, some good, some bad. There came college, there came seminary, 3 years more after college, and finally came the time I was going to be ordained. And I knew before I was ordained in that ceremony that God had called me to be a priest. But it was in that ceremony when I looked eye to eye with the bishop, and the bishop laid hands on me, and attending clergy, priests, laid hands on me and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon me and to make me a priest in the church, that something happened. Even though before that ceremony, I knew I was called, I knew the truth, but there was something that happened in that moment, in that time, that personally came to me, that went deep, way beyond my mind, but went into my heart and my soul of what was true, of what was true. When we hear the account of the baptism of our Lord Jesus this morning, there's a sense that of what is that all about? And we can preach a year of sermons on it, but I'm going to just look at one key piece. Jesus, before he was baptized, knew and had an understanding that he was different. It talks about earlier in Luke how Jesus was found in the temple and his parents had gone home and thought he was with them and then discovered he wasn't. And so it is that they go back and they find Jesus in the temple and he says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" At the age of 12, there's an understanding Jesus had that there is something really going on here as the Son of God. And even though he was young, he was growing, and he would come into more and more knowledge as he grew. But the thing was that before his baptism, he had an understanding that he was the Son of God. But at his baptism, it talks about that heaven was opened and the Father affirms and confirms who Jesus is. And he says to him directly in a personal way, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." There is something that happened at Jesus' baptism that God affirms and confirms deep within him of who he is. That he is the Son of God. That he is loved by the Father personally. And that the Father is well pleased. Now this becomes really critical and important to understand because in Jesus' ministry, this is the beginning of his ministry. This is like an ordination, and he's beginning his ministry. And everything in his ministry, most things in his ministry are going to try to come against his identity. Satan, in the temptations, is going to try to subvert or to diminish Jesus' understanding of who he is. The Pharisees and Sadducees are going to do the same. People are going to walk with him and then deny him. All of these things are things that we're going to come against Jesus, that we're going to try to come against his true identity. That's why this baptism story is so important, because it's here that goes deep into Jesus knowing that he's the Son of God, that he's loved by the Father, that the Father is pleased with him. For you and me, the Lord speaks to us about our identity. He tells us some things, a lot of things. I'm just going to look at one of them. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And it reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Lord, you say of me, that you have blessed me today, right now, in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It goes on and says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He chose me. God chose me. I remember making the freshman basketball team. And I remember when the coach put up the list and I saw my name on it. And I called my mom and dad right away and said, I made it. I was chosen. I'm chosen to be on the team. That's freshman basketball and a coach. And God says to you and me today, I have chosen you. That's your identity. I have chosen you. I know you, and I have chosen you for a purpose. It goes on and says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Our identity, the Lord says to each one of us, we've been adopted personally by him. Personally by him. And adoption had the understanding that everything that had happened in your life before that adoption was gone, never existed. All that existed was you were adopted into this new family. So God says to you and me this morning, I've blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I have chosen you. I have predestined you to be adopted as my son, as my daughter. It says, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Okay, God, here we go. God, you're God of everything. You're Lord of creation. You're Lord of the universe. You're God of all things. And yet you say, today you know me. You call me your son, your daughter. And you do all of this out of your pleasure. Wow. Out of your pleasure, God. It was your pleasure to do all these things for me. There's so many things, Lord, that seem so much more important in the world today, but right now, Lord, you're looking at me personally saying, I've done all these things for you because it brought me pleasure. Later on, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Lavish doesn't mean a trickle. It means it is poured out. It's poured out. God's love is poured out upon us beyond measure, beyond understanding. All of these things. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has chosen us. He has predestined us to be adopted into his family according to his pleasure and will, lavished on us according to his good pleasure. That's our identity. Now, read the Bible from cover to cover and learn all the more about your identity. But God says that we have this identity of being loved. We're not the Son of God. We're not Jesus, but he says, I love you as my son, as my daughter. I'm pleased with you. I care about you. You're special beyond measure. The problem comes for you and me that for one, there's often a distance between our mind and our heart. My mind believes all sorts of things. I confess all sorts of things. But my heart, the heart connection isn't happening. The other problem is I have so many faults. I see myself in ways that aren't fully true. When I was a priest, and still am, but as a rector at Holy Spirit for 38 years, and comes the time of to leave there, and I thought it was just to retire and go fishing, and some other things happened along the way. Nice try. But the thing that I really struggled with, and and my wife and my family struggled with me with it, was what it meant for me to be the rector at Holy Spirit. The title, the job description, the way life went from Monday morning, looking at the lectionary for the scriptures the next Sunday and beginning to pray into that throughout the week, and the staff meeting and this and that and the other things that went along. And all of a sudden, when that wasn't there, what was left? I didn't know that until it wasn't there. But I found my identity was wrapped up in my job, in my calling. And God was calling me to something more, to find my identity in what He said about me, that my identity was in Him. Some of you might be growing older. Hopefully we all are, or else we're in trouble. Growing older. I'm not doing ladders, by the way. I have a good wife. I'm not doing ladders. There's a number of things I'm not doing. I'm finding that I have trouble with my balance more than I used to. Of course, this being the Sunday I was preaching, the crown on my front tooth fell out again. You know, these things didn't used to happen. They didn't used to happen, but they happen now. And so, do I have value? Amen. Thank you for that affirmation. Do I have value? Where's my identity? You see, all of these things, we get labeled with different things. ADHD. For those that don't know what that is, I have it. Squirrel. I have trouble focusing. Then some of us are on the spectrum, and some of us have other diagnoses. And it's not that these things aren't true, but they sometimes become our identity, and they become a trap. And what the Lord, I believe, is saying more and more is, have an encounter with me where you hear me speak truth into your life about who you are. Have an encounter with me where it's not just reading scripture, which is critical. You got to read the scriptures because that's where it comes. But with the scripture, where we have this experience where God begins to love on us in our soul and our spirit, and we begin to hear the Holy Spirit tell us exactly about who we are in Christ. Father, I can only imagine what it was like with you and Jesus, your Son, on that day of his baptism, that there's that moment, Lord, where heaven was opened, and Father, you saw your Son coming out of the water, and it brought you such a joy, joy unimaginable, that you said, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." What it was like for your Son Jesus as he was about to begin his public ministry, first the temptations and then all the other things that were going to happen leading to his death and resurrection, and how he felt on that day. What he saw on that day as you affirmed him as your Son, as the one you so loved, as the one you were pleased with. We thank you for how our Lord Jesus never wavered in that and lived that out in his life and in eternity. So for us, Lord, there are different images we have of ourselves, different labels we have on ourselves, different ways that we find our identity in things other than you. So, Lord, I pray that there would be a spirit of revelation and knowledge, as your word says, that would come to us today. That as your word said, that your servant Paul kept asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know him better. That, Lord, we would, in keeping with Paul's prayer, have power together with all the Lord's holy people to be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Lord, lead us into that place, that new place of knowing the truth of who we are, of how you see us, that our identity would be found in that and not in anything else. We thank you, Lord, that you give us jobs. We thank you that you give us ministries. But Lord, those were never meant to be our foundational identity. It was meant to be you. So, Lord, thank you for what you say to each one of us today. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.